on this episode of Edge of the Web.
SEO didn't stop, you know, and right. If you're a company that had to hit pause, you know, I hope you can figure out how to hit unpause, because everybody who is still playing the SEO game is, you know, they're going to get a little bit ahead. Everything you build, everything you put into SEO, you get back. So, you know, yeah, this is, if you can help it, don't take your foot off the gas now.
Your weekly digital marketing trends with industry trend-setting guests. You're listening and watching Edge of the Web. Winners of Best Podcast from the Content Marketing Institute for 2017. Hear and see more at edgeofthewebradio.com. Now, here's your host, Aaron Sparks.
All right. Hey, this is Edge of the Web Radio, episode 353. I'm your host, Aaron Sparks. Happy Star Wars Day to you. May the 4th be with you. How about that, Jacob? May the 4th be with you, sir.
Oh, may the 4th be with you as well. I wasn't ready for that, but I got to that mute switch quick.
Yes, you did. Hey, I'm springing stuff on you, and you're doing better and better each time.
Aaron, I have prepared something for you for today.
Really?
I want you to direct your attention to the screen.
All right.
This is just for today.
Oh, my. Oh, there's an Avenger tag. May the 4th be with you, be ever in your favor, Mr. Potter from Gandalf. Noting the Chronicles are Narnia. Literally, are we dealing with like six?
Well, and then it's the Doctor Who.
Oh, no. That's Sherlock.
Oh, it's Sherlock with the Doctor Who behind him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's like eight levels of Inception there.
And I don't know. Are those gears? I don't know what the gears are around the Avengers logo. That's the one thing I could not place.
It's like a steampunk reference.
Maybe.
Oh, my gosh. This is a beautiful graphic. Okay, I'm just going to have to get Bill on here right now. Bill Sebald, hey, you're in the back in the green room here. What do you think about that graphic, man? Do you see that?
I like what you said about Inception. Yeah.
That was a beautiful thing, sir.
I'm a giant Marvel nerd, and I stay with Marvel. Like, that's kind of my guilty pleasure.
We're just going to have to cut the broadcast right here.
What? I was worried that might break you.
My head was literally, but Bill threw out a Marvel passion reference here, and he's not even giving DC. I mean, do we just have to start the show over? All right. Oh, that is a beautiful thing. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it. All right. Every week we bring you the amazing guests, even if they're Marvel guests, Marvel fans, to chat about digital marketing trends and digital marketing news. So we unpack a key marketing topic for our digital marketing audience. Whether you are part of an agency, a freelancer, a part of a firm, this show is for you. Be sure to check out everything over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. If you're new to the show, these are the ropes. We go live 3 p.m. every Monday Eastern, as much as we humanly can. And then we actually take that live YouTube broadcast and then put it into our engine of content curation. So we get it over to iTunes and Google Play and all the podcast aggregators, as well as running transcripts for blog content and different show notes. And we also cut up that YouTube video into a lot of different video segments, as well as crank out a lot of social media from that. That's what we're doing here at Edge of the Web. So you can check us out on all the podcast platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn, Player FM. What am I missing? Don't know. You didn't get that quickly on the mute button, that one.
No, I didn't. Sure, there's a bunch that you're missing that we haven't even heard of.
I'm thinking so. But if we haven't heard it and you like to listen to a particular aggregator, let us know. We'll get that RSS feed there in a hurry. So go over to edgeofthewebradio.com. You can check out the show, transcripts, video, and everything that we do. And the show is actually brought to you by Site Strategics, Indianapolis-based agile digital marketing firm here. Our core specialties are technical SEO, SEM, social media, conversion rate optimization, website development, omni-channel media broadcast, as very similar to what you're seeing right here. So if you're interested in what we can do for you, especially in the podcast realm, we do custom podcast development, pilot production, as well as full syndication and pushing that out on a regular basis for our clients. So go over to sitestrategics.com, S-I-T-E, strategics.com, or just search Agile marketing, agile digital marketing. You're going to find us right there at the top. Give us a call over at 877-736-4932. Or if you'd like to actually do the alphanumeric thing, that's 877-SEO for web. Why would anybody want to actually retranslate that number? It sounded good in my head, but literally, as I was saying it, That makes no bloody sense whatsoever. So my cohort in crime is Jacob Mann. Jacob, third time on the mute, but he's good there. How you doing, sir?
Great. I was ready.
You were ready. So how's the week been in the Mann family?
You know, we're definitely having those moments where there's some clashing, and that's unfortunate. But the kids are, you know, they're
figuring. But do you keep score?
I should. I've seen a family that's doing a quarantine Olympics, and the different events. They're always pretty fun. So
that's awesome.
They've, you know, just all sorts of stuff around the house. You know.
Yep. Yep, I know it. I know it. My speaking of Star Wars Day, one of our last Cub Scout meetings as a den leader for one of our boys, we actually armed every scout in the pack with half cut noodle, a pool noodle, with some duct tape around the end that looked like a Star Wars lightsaber. And you've never seen anything like 70 Cub Scouters armed with a lightsaber that they know will not hurt somebody, smacking the crap out of each other. One was Sith, one was Jedi, and they just went to town. It was an amazing thing.
Who won?
I think I did, because I set it all up. Cool thing is they took it all home, but I still have these lightsabers in our house, and my kids just tear at each other with these things. And you know what? It could be worse, right?
Well, that's the way to get them to sleep at night, too.
Absolutely. That or some Benadryl, whichever.
Yeah. Allergy season.
Absolutely. All right, some housekeeping for you real quick. If you are interested in who's coming up, we got Bridget Willard coming up on the 18th. We have Katie Mann coming up on the week of the 18th. We also are, I think we're acquiring Martin Split from Google on the 18th of May as well. That's pretty cool. He's the guy with the pink hair.
I think you got one of your dates wrong.
18th?
You were doing three on the 18th?
Two on the 18th.
Okay.
11th, then Katie is okay. on that same week. And then we also have John Wall of Marketing Over Coffee on the 26th. So if you're interested in being part of the show, let us know over at info@edgeoftheweb.com. That's info@edgeoftheweb.com. Set your reminders on YouTube so you can get notified when we go live with these shows, because we're doing live and we certainly would like some great interaction with our audience. All right, so Edge fans, let us know a little bit about what you like from our show. Go over to edgeoftheweb.radio.com, and we're running a quick poll on the site. I'll give you some stats real quick of some of the input that we've got over the last few months. 38% of the respondents are marketers in an organization, and 37% want to have more advanced SEO. So having Martin Splint up here in the next couple of weeks would be fantastic, talking some deep technical, maybe some jQuery and JavaScript type of perspectives into SEO. How about that? Social media came in a second at 25%. So we're keeping the poll open. Let us know. Jump over there, and it's anonymous. You don't have to give us your name at all. Just let us know how we're doing, what you'd like to hear more of. All right, so that's everything of the show notes. Be sure to check out the news portion of this show, separate podcast, a bonus podcast with our interview here. Cover all the fast-tracking news items and talking about a number of things as it applies to the COVID experience and digital marketing trends. So be sure to check out that podcast. But with that, let's close the ranks there and talk to our subject matter expert. Bill, let's go.
Now it's time for Edge of the Web featured interview with Bill Siebold, Managing Partner at Green Lane Marketing.
All right. So, Bill, thanks for hanging with us as we went through that haphazard gauntlet of an intro. Biff, for listeners who don't know Bill, he's a second timer on the show. We certainly appreciate you coming back. We talked a lot about rock and roll and Star Wars last time around. So as Star Wars came through May the 4th, we had to have you back on the show, man.
Yeah, I'm really glad you told me today was May the 4th. I thought it was still like March 63rd. I think it's amazing that you guys are really using calendars and have your dates down, because I'm just, I don't know where, what day it is.
It's all a blur, man. It's like, what's the Alice in Wonderland? Oh, no, the Jabberwocky Frabnish Day? It's all a blur. It's all made up now.
I'm pretty much just going weekend or weekday. It's just one or two. It's binary for me at this point.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that said, we certainly want to introduce our guests or our listeners to Bill. He founded Green Lane, a Philadelphia SEO and digital advertising company, and after 15 years of e-commerce and SEO experience, this included leading the first group of SEOs at GSI Commerce, working with clients like Toys R Us, Dick's Sporting Goods, PetSmart, and Calvin Klein. So some big names there. So you're running a PPC and SEO shop, Bill. What got you into SEO in your own words?
SEO, I got into that in 96. I was working for, it was an e-com company back in the day that wasn't even truly a what we think of now as e-com. Hmm. The catalog was run by an Excel spreadsheet and there was no shopping cart. Like, this is literally the kind of site where you have to have somebody call in with a credit card and you couldn't take it over email because you were afraid somebody would get it. So if ever since, you know, that, I sort of was in charge of sales online on this brand new thing called the internet, and quickly noticed that, hey, you know, you can get traffic from these search engine things. And as I started to figure out how search engines worked, I started to notice that there's this, you know, a couple small little groups of people that were calling themselves SEOs, and, you know, that sort of worked as a beacon. Mm-hmm. You know, I got there and the term SEO got bigger, and then everybody sort of found each other around that term is sort of the experience I had. So ever since then, I've just been absolutely fascinated with it.
It's a puzzle that keeps on puzzling us, doesn't it? It gives us a lot to do, doesn't it?
Yeah, I love the detective work.
But I got to ask you, can you tell the difference between a 14.4 baud modem and a 56K?
Can I tell the difference?
Mm-hmm.
The sound. Its speed?
No.
Oh, you're talking about
the tone itself.
Bill, pro tip here, tell anymore. Him you can, because Aaron will sing those tones if you don't.
I want to hear the tones.
I know the screech. It's been emblazoned in my mind. We'll have to do some post-show sing songs. How about that? All right. So you're running an SEO company, and we have a very weird scenario that's happening. It's the weirdest that I think we've ever experienced on the internet. COVID shutdown happened about March 12th, 18th or so for everybody had to shelter at home. But what marketers don't realize is that SEO is all over the bloody map. There are so many things that are changing in the SERPs, and rightfully so, because Google's trying to keep us abreast of the most pertinent information, and they're scanning a heck of a lot more local news organizations to be able to provide value. But I mean, what's your take on SEO during this particular time period?
SEO didn't stop, you know, and right. If you're a company that had to hit pause, you know, I hope you can figure out how to hit unpause, because everybody who is still playing the SEO game is, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to get a little bit ahead. Everything you build, everything you put into SEO, you get back. So, you know, even during these times, if it's possible to keep on doing your SEO, I strongly recommend it. Yep. Now, there's plenty of reasons somebody would have to stop that, you know, I wouldn't understand or know about unless I was in the boardroom. But yeah, this is, if you can help it, don't take your foot off the gas now.
No, absolutely. I mean, we've had a number of shows about digital marketing during the time of crisis, but SEO seems to have been a kind of a subservice compared to PPC. There's been a lot of pivots and shifts in PPC, but you're absolutely right that SEO is a perfect vehicle to keep moving down the lane, so to speak, because taking that fuel off and focusing elsewhere could actually have even a larger ramification to your visibility when this subsides. And it will subside, everybody. I mean, we're going to be coming out of this here in months and not giving enough fuel for your SEO game. It certainly, we know that you've got a wake behind you as opposed to ad spend. Ad spend's binary, like Jake was talking about. You're on or you're off, and you certainly can re-strategize quickly on PPC. But from an SEO standpoint, you've got to have momentum there. And if you pull away from that, you're just creating a larger gap after you swing back around and start rolling with it again, right?
For sure. Momentum's a great word to use.
Cool.
And a lot of times it's like, oh, no, we're going down in rankings. What's going on? We're still doing, you know, our thing. Well, sometimes you're going down because somebody else is doing better. You know, somebody else is pressing on the gas a little harder. putting a little bit more money into it, or coming up with just better plans. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you got to think about SEO as a defensive play as well. You got to stay in it just to make sure you don't go, you know, somebody doesn't step ahead of you, because if they're ahead of you, your rankings go down.
Yep. Today, Danny Sullivan just tweeted from as a Google search liaison, Google search has never seen as many searches in one single topic continue over a sustained period as is happening right now with COVID-19. Many searches are for news and what's happening in local areas, such as sheltering updates and or the latest trends on testing. But they're changing a lot in the SERP on a regular basis, and they're doing it on the fly. Local news content, top stories, AMP and non-AMP. They're also watching a lot of signals of relevance. Now, here's what's interesting is this all has been going on behind the scenes. This is how Google actually looked at content and looks at value, looks at relevancy, looks at entities that you're trying to create of concepts inside of your content. They are actively scrubbing data, and we talked about in the news possibly people talking about a slowdown of the crawl. I would counter that that's probably the fastest that it's ever been moving to digest new content, new data for consumers to be able to show relevant information. So you've got a fast-moving train of looking for fresh content, and you also have the machine behind everything that's actually understanding relevance more and more. We're seeing some new things happening in search that we've never seen. It just so happened to have a crisis that also brought this together. Responses to search, responses on search from Google are taking less than a day now of moving new content and seeing it rank. Have you seen this type of behavior, Bill?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the way that Google's been going. And again, I don't think it's really like, hey, there's a big thing going on, we have to start working a little harder to make you know, changes or perceivable changes. I think this is just Google's way. You know, these a lot of the things that they're probably putting in place are a little bit responsive or reactive, rather. Mm-hmm. You know, to be a good service to its users. But yeah, I mean, this has been Google's way for a while, in my opinion. They move fast. Yeah. You'll never say, hey, this was a slow week in SEO. you never say it. Nope. And that's, you know, I'm sure it's by their design. They're constantly moving, constantly growing, constantly learning. And then they're a data company. And then just like you said, scrubbing the data and making sure that what they're putting out there is the absolute best it can be.
Right, right. So in the SEO game, like you started off with, is letting your foot off the gas at this moment, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to capitalize on that engine. I'm not talking about exploiting any type of information during the COVID crisis. I'm just saying that there is at your disposal a monster of a ranking tool that you can actually position your content, valuable, relevant content, very quickly. They're looking for valuable information to help its users understand how you're actually participating in this and what you can do for them. So it's a very important thing to be able to focus on from a series of tactics, because it could be considered a long-term play, but that's not the case of SEO. It's constantly changing and constantly moving, and we're seeing changes daily. So let me ask you this, and not to name any names, have you seen some disruption in rankings of your clients here over the last 45 days?
In rankings, not really.
Good.
Not really. You know, have we seen change in click-throughs and change in traffic? Absolutely.
Sure.
I can't say I'm thinking across everything because I look often. Mm-hmm. I can't say that I notice any correlation yet between lack of traffic and lack of rankings, at least in our portfolio. We have, you know, 25 clients, so it's certainly a thing that could be happening elsewhere.
Sure.
Yeah, we haven't spotted that.
That's actually really, really heartening, because, I mean, obviously medical communities and medical professions, there's a bit of movement around here or there, but it's about the shifting traffic patterns of the consumers, right? I mean, the fact mm-hmm. of the matter is the attention is going elsewhere right now, as it should be. But here's the deal. In a recent survey, this is coming from Numerator, in a recent survey, one in three consumers indicated that the news of coronavirus has already changed their shopping behavior. 47.2% of U.S. internet users polled last month said that they are currently avoiding shopping centers and malls. Obviously, for the sheer fact, but they're changing their purchasing habits. They're changing their search habits. We're seeing kind of an evolution of our existing savviness of consumers. They're spending so much more time, even on their desktop. Desktop utilization has shifted. We were seeing such a monumental pivot towards mobile over the years. Desktop is rebounding because guess what? Everybody's parked at home. They can spend that time on their desktop. There's more and more searches. There's more and more online purchases. I don't think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we're going to snap back to our base norm before this event. I think we're going to be in a post-COVID user experience, and there's going to be a heck of a lot more interaction and savviness of the consumer to find exactly what they're looking for through a search.
Yeah, I would totally expect that. I think this will at least, this is my thought, is that this will at least bring people who were not power users on the internet or power users in Google,
yeah,
more into being more comfortable and confident with using the internet and using Google. I'll talk about my wife. You know, she don't even understand what SEO is. She's like, you know, you're faking it out there. You know, like, you know, she can't wrap her head around SEO. But she, you know, understands value. She understands when something's useful to her. And this has said, you can't go outside. At least here in Pennsylvania, we have a, you know, pretty strict lockdown scenario. So she had to go and figure out how to do things like get, you know, groceries delivered, which she's never done before, or something like that. And she's like, hey, this is pretty convenient. There's a lot of things that I'm doing now that I've never done before, and I'm finding it pretty convenient. Why would that go away? Yeah, exactly. So I think it's really justice is going to train some people to use the internet a little bit more.
Absolutely. And we were talking on the news portion regarding video platforms. There's so many novices that are utilizing as the communications at an all-time high with these platforms. There's a lot of people learning. This has moved everybody into this digital or the new media consumer model more than anything else would have done. So, I mean, you're going to see more and more value out of your search investment, your SEO investment, more and more out of your PPC investment. Not right now, just due to the fact that consumers have shifted their focus. But you better believe that education is not going to be going away.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you, just reflecting back on some of your clients, and you have kind of the same group of clients that we have. We're about 25, 28 clients, something like that. And we try to keep narrow and small so we can service them the best. Have you seen a reduction in PPC budgets with some of these clients?
Yeah, there's certainly been some. There's certainly been some.
And
I'll even say, and I hope you guys are experiencing the same, it's really been, there's been a clear turnaround the last week and a half in terms of business. And I don't know if it's an anomaly for us, but we're like signing again. And,
yep.
And maybe the fear is starting to, and maybe it's not even just fear, it's just cautious. Like, we have to be careful that we don't make the wrong decision during this time. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping some of that is lifting.
No, I'd agree. We're actually seeing the same thing. Is we're actually seeing more of an uptick in business than we did at the beginning of the year, which is amazing. Yeah. Because there was a strong year starting out for digital, and I mean, we're counting our blessings here on what that means. But out of every one of these new engagements, they are taking extra care to focus on all these different elements, and we're seeing more audits coming to pass of just starting an engagement with a full landscape understanding of where their assets are and what are the critical factors that they need to pay attention to. And maybe some of these companies didn't really pay attention to those things before. And that's what's really inspiring.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, regarding shifts in tactics and shifts in budgets, Google actually says it lost about 7% of their impressions in ads in January, from January 13th to March 9th of this year. So that's a huge loss in revenue. But at the same time, I think we reported either last show or the previous show, is that Google's actually launching a number of blogs about investing in SEO. Now, think about that as a tactic. There's a number of case studies that they're rolling out regarding search and the SEO tactics that got success for some of these clients. Now I don't know if you've come across this, or why do you think that would be so interesting to them in regards to lifting up a non-paid advertising medium such as SEO?
I think it brings value to their engine. I mean, if it brings value to their engine, you're going to bring more users and they're going to see more of those ads because that's where, you know, Google is making the lion's share of their money.
Yep. You better believe it. So that's that's an investment in just re-education in that space. And I mean, if it wasn't for SEO, if it wasn't for search, then they wouldn't be a player. So even with a 7% loss, they're going to lift up what is one of the most important things is getting your content right, getting your content straight, and adhering to best practices and guidelines in SEO. That's what's going to really pave the way for their removal of that loss. But more importantly, getting people more engaged and understanding of how valuable SEO is. Check this out. SEO has actually seen a sharp uptick. Brands like Daily Burn are seeing a 300-plus increase in organic search visibility from January 19th to March 19th. So if you're taking advantage of the situation and understanding that you still need to invest in SEO, there's some rich rewards there because the engine is so responsive, right? You remember the day, I think we talked about the last time that you were on here. Remember the days that you'd have to actually wait about 6 months before you could actually see pertinent results changing from your SEO? Do you remember those days?
6 months. Yeah, yep. That was it was a real thing. You had to wait a very long time.
Yeah,
because it just took so long for Google to crawl and then process it all. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. It was like sailing a barge. It really was. So, I mean, nowadays we were talking days and we're seeing some great results. What a fantastic authority that you can create for SEO. Anyway, I'm biased. I get that. But we're seeing some good stuff here. So just a pause for our listeners. If you want to chime in and hear when we're going live, just track us down on YouTube and hit that bell, subscribe so you can actually get notified when we go live. We have a number of watchers and visitors right here that we'd love to hear from as well. All right, so going on. All right, there's SEO. SEO is certainly a good power play right now for your digital marketing tactics. Let's shift over to SEO agencies during COVID. So Bill, you guys rolled out, you and your team rolled out a blog here just recently, and it was a really cool blog, and we wanted to bring it to our audience's attention. It was entitled "The First 50 Days of Quarantine: What We've Learned." Now I certainly understand that there are a lot of contributors to this article, but it was really, really cool seeing some of your talent actually contribute and share some information regarding culture, strategy, and business concepts during this period of time. First out of the gate was culture, and some discussions were about video calls. Having a stand-up call wasn't really enough for you guys. You guys started to embrace the video platform more and more. So tell me about that. How has your culture shifted by engaging on the video platforms? You're using Zoom now. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, we work from home Thursdays and Fridays already. So, you know, working from home full time wasn't as hard on us probably as many. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the world going on, and you can look at it several ways as a business owner. And one way you can look at it is it's a giant distraction to making money. But that's not really the approach we took. We thought about it more as we have a pretty good team. We want everybody to be healthy. We want everybody to be happy for all of our mutual benefits, right? Whether it's Greenland's benefit or their own benefit. So we realized that what started to happen is we all started to talk to each other a little more. We were opening up and talking a little bit more about feelings, that what we do in the morning is a version of a stand-up, you know, a 10-minute stand-up. This thing started to take an hour every day. And instead of shutting it down, we were like, let's do this. This is good for everybody. And just hearing, even me as one of the business owners, just hearing some of the things that they've been talking about, it's been absolutely, I don't even know how to say this without sounding cheesy, but like it is, they have helped me hopefully as much as I've helped them. And we are like this group, like this family, closer than we've ever been. Wow. Because we realize the bigger value now of getting together and working with each other emotionally. Even though we're a business making money type of business, you know, organization, we're seeing a new value in that kind of culture than I ever saw before. And I always thought we had a pretty fun and loose culture now, but yeah, we've become a family. We've come a lot closer because of you know, the way that we've all been able to talk through Zoom and the other tools.
That is cool. And there's a number of agencies, a number of companies are actually expressing that same thing, is all of a sudden, especially if you're starting to embrace some some events around that that it can break up some of the monotony, break up some of the aloneness that people are certainly experiencing right now. Having some activities that you guys can do, and you had one activity in particular that you discussed in the blog, hosting an inclusive activity, pick a game challenge or project for everyone to participate in. You gave an example of sort of a music playlist game on Spotify. The theme is chosen best saxophone solos that aren't Careless Whisper.
I won that, by the way. I won that day. Yeah, we do this every day. It's like an obsession now.
Oh my gosh. All right. So what's the theme today?
Oh, what is the theme today? It is good songs about bad things.
Good songs about bad things. All right, give us some examples that you got in the playlist there.
This I'm gonna load awesome. It up real fast. I know I picked a Beastie Boys song called Paul Revere.
That's
great
a
great song, and they're doing bad things. All right, we have Jesus, I Was Evil by Darcy Clay. I'm Evil Jack by The Frogs. I mean, I'm learning about new bands more from this exercise.
Oh my gosh.
Than I have in all my years of listening to MTV, Spotify, name it. You name it.
You'll be careful there if you're doing it from home, because my 12-year-old's running around the house singing Brass Monkey. I kid you not. No. it's like the 80s. The 80s roofie. I'm going, oh crap. what do you lock on to? No, that's awesome. And that actually, that's the thing about this, is that you wouldn't regularly share this in the office, right? Nobody's bouncing around the playlists in the office, but in this remote scenario, is that that's how you can actually express yourself and share, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have a playful sort of culture, but creating more opportunities to have a little bit more fun, you know, I'm really seeing the positives of it. And I'll be honest, I mean, I grew up in some pretty tough agencies where we have a channel in Slack called Fun Stuff. Like, you wouldn't be allowed to have a Fun Stuff channel. You know, they want you to work. Don't be right. In Fun Stuff. You got to limit how much you're in Fun Stuff. But I don't know. It's just, I guess I was wrong. I was raised that way. And we're seeing the last couple of years that, you know, having a good culture means you have a great team. Having a great team who's all going the same way means they're more open-minded, more interested in working together, and they are teaching each other. We're all teaching each other, and it's just this great thing. It's just this great team. It's never been like it is right now.
That's great. But you do not require your team to wear 15 pieces of flair, right?
That starts on Monday. 15 pieces of flair. Yeah, no.
Little Office Space humor. All right. I like it. So you led with culture first and encouraging PTO. 9 to 5 isn't really realistic, and that's actually really cool. Just to be able to understand that you're in the house with your family, and now you have other obligations and different requirements. So as long as the work's getting done, be flexible, right?
Yeah, I saw a meme once that I passed around. You know, 9 to 5, the Dolly Parton song,
yeah.
9 to 5. So the meme was, it was Dolly Parton. She's like, I'm working 9 to 9:14, 9:16 to 10, 10 to 10:12, 10 to, and it went on like that. And that's how it has to be now. And that's totally fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So not only is culture important, but strategy, client strategy, and how it needs a shift for our clients. I just loved the way everything unpacked here on this blog article. You focused on meeting a target audience where they are now. So for every one of the clients, right, their audiences have shifted, and the importance of certain services that they offer have shifted in the eyes of the consumer. So what type of processes have you developed to be able to help kind of retarget to your client's customer and be able to provide reach to them?
Really within what we usually do. So we're the kind of company that puts strategy first, typically, you know, looking at everything we're capable of doing within search marketing and other digital marketing, and putting together a plan based on data-led plan, understanding everything we can about the user journey, understanding everything we can about, you know, the other digital marketing channels, and baking, you know, strategies as we go. We're pretty agile as well. So they're not long-term strategies. They're, here's what this is going to work for a month or 2 months, and we're going to examine it and build on it.
Right.
So it really isn't like, hey, we discovered this new style of of services. It's just, it was a lot of what we already do, but the challenge was one that we just never saw before, you know? So we're working with our clients to figure out what their audience, how their audiences are changing, because they're not even sure they understand. It's all happening in real time. So we spent a lot more time doing data analysis, I think, than we usually have to. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of some of the wins we've had and some of the big changes, sweeping changes that we've made for clients. It's fun to be a part of that. It's definitely different than it used to be doing SEO, you know, 10 years ago. It was just about getting rankings and getting a keyword to show up. But now it's such a integrated marketing channel. And I think strategic SEO is very, very, very important these days.
Have some of the key performance indicators, some of the goals shifted here just recently, where, like you said, ranks haven't been the key factor of success for a while from SEO. It's been organic traffic, it's been organic conversions. But during this COVID scenario, have you added some other goals, have shifted towards certain types of engagement goals for your clients' customers?
Yeah, I can think of one right off the bat that's good. So we have a school, pretty big school. You know, their KPIs before, they wanted to get people in and get the tour. Well, now we're going to have to do a virtual tour.
Right.
So, you know, their team has to work on creating that solution. We're guiding that. You know, they have their developers, they have everything they need there. So, yeah. So the KPIs like almost overnight changed.
Wow.
And what's really interesting is you look at this stuff and it's kind of like you were saying earlier. You look at this stuff and you say, you know, this isn't just a temporary, let's change because of COVID. We might be changing the way they do business going forward. So let's not lose sight of that as well. This might be a huge thing for them, even mm-hmm. a year or two, 5 years, whatever.
No, absolutely. So, absolutely. We had an experience. One of our clients is a virtual education, virtual high school for the state of Indiana. And everything exploded overnight. And one of the blogs that we wrote maybe 2 years ago, defining online etiquette, right, has skyrocketed. Literally, I think we've gotten 20,000 views on that article in 1 month alone. And I mean, just consuming from the entire country, just grabbing a hold of that article because that's the space in which they were living in, have been for the longest time. Yeah. But my gosh, things have changed overnight. But what about reprioritizing verticals? One of your sections in your blog had to do with just making a shift to be able to focus more on, for example, your medical cosmetic dermatologist had offices, right? Well, everything's closed. So same thing you're talking about is shifting not only the KPIs, but also what they're trying to target. Can you give us a little bit of information about the vertical shifts that you may have experienced with some of your clients?
I think that's the example I gave before sort of still fits the same way. Sure. I mean, you just got to figure out what the changes are, whether it's vertical, whether it's industry, mm-hmm. You know, whether the type of people that are coming to the site have different, whether the people coming to the site have different interests than they used to. Mm-hmm. It's all sniffing out what, you know, people are looking for and then being there and providing it.
Very good. Very good. All right. So the last section of this blog post really had to do with business changes. And this is where, obviously, as the owner of the company, you staked your ground in this. You led with the first point regarding client relationships, and they're more nuanced than ever before. Unpack that for me, would you?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's tough to, well, I got a couple thoughts on it. I'll start here. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to have a good, strong relationship with them. I don't like being a provider that just throws things over the fence. I think it's really important to have really a really good rapport mm-hmm. with your client, to really treat them like a partner, to really be a partner, to feel like somebody who's on their team, not just a vendor that's, you know, a line item in their expenses.
Sure.
So, you know, whether it's with new business or talking to a prospect or somebody we're currently working with, it's really, you know, let's figure out what you really need, who you really are. Let's really get to trust each other. And, you know, this consulting thing that we're doing can be true consulting at that point. Mm-hmm. Cause to me, that's what a consultant's really about. There's somebody who has a certain set of experience and they have knowledge, and you know, you bring in that knowledge and you figure out how to integrate that knowledge into the the tent poles that are already there in a business. You shouldn't go in as a consultant or an agency and say, hey, we're going to knock all this down and this is what you have to do. They'll hate you because it's all stuff that they've created for years.
That's right.
So you need to go in and sort of figure out how you fit in. And that is just even more crucial now. It's a lot more nuanced. You got to listen a lot more, maybe ask some good questions to get the right information out. But if you have a bad relationship, if it's a really closed off relationship, it's tougher now to do your work than I think it has been in the past.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a number of points of education that are having to happen more often for some of the clients maybe that have been less than engaged before, as we're experiencing that. But I think it's always one of the best things that you can do to be able to have that nuanced relationship if you can acquire it, because trust, especially with some of the ethereal nature of SEO, right? That trust has to be foundational. Otherwise, anything is suspect, and that's tough. Especially whenever these dollars mean the world for growing business for their company and being able to pay their employees and feed their families. So you have to have that. What about resetting business goals? You mentioned this regard. We are faced with a heck of a lot of new goals in our business. Business retention is one of the key things from our organization. We're wanting to make sure that every one of our clients is not only getting the best service, but we're listening to them and we're adjusting models. If they've got to drop their budget and we have an eye on them possibly coming back, we're going to extend out, if we can, a measure of efforts just to keep them in the fold while they're going through their hardships. Have you experienced something like that over on your side?
Very much so. Yeah. I mean, you can be hard ass and say, you know, hey, you paused or you're leaving now. Yeah. We don't have we're terminating the contract. We're not going to talk anymore. Mm. I don't think that's the way to have any kind of relationship, right? So yeah, we have some scenarios where people pause and we hope they come back and we're staying in touch and making sure that everything's all right.
Cool.
But there's even internally the business goal, the things that we've had to do internally we know, I'm trying to figure out another angle to bring this in. So we know that there's a lot of problems out there with a lot of different agencies. They're definitely struggling and we're pretty lucky. We've made some good decisions and we're pretty stable and we're pretty good. But one of the things that we learned about transparency came probably only a couple of years ago. So I mentioned before, I'm used to a world where there's no transparency, there's no fun, there's just do your work and it's a grind. The transparency that we've been giving to our team has been unlike any transparency we've given before. And they thank us sometimes. The team thanks us. Like, you know, we were worried about this. We were thinking about this. They were thinking about things that we had never thought they were thinking about. So by being forthright and being ahead of it and being transparent from the get-go, like, here's where we are. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't think everybody should follow this, you know, as a rule, but we said PPP, right? The loan program, like, here's where this stands for us. And we started to be a little bit more transparent about all those things.
Oh, cool.
And I'm glad we are. And, you know, I think it's really made a difference in our, in the lives of our team, the confidence of our team that we're going to be fine and we're going to get through this okay.
Very good. Very good. And those are some key things that employees are going to remember as well, you know, and having transparency with businesses that and your clients as well, and sharing some struggles and sharing some changes, right? Those things I think are going to anchor yourself to a post COVID scenario where, I mean, there's going to be some good brand, good relationships founded with that. So kudos to you, man. Very, very good.
And I've always heard like the Moz crew and, you know, they've talked about tag fee and they've talked about transparency and they're right. They're totally right. And the more transparent we got, and again, I know not all businesses can afford to do this or will do this. But I'm really just kind of shocked about how important transparency was to our team. Yeah, different generation than me too. I'm a bit older than some, but I think it's more about the way I came up. I came up that old traditional way, and those days are different.
Yeah, they are, and different now. Yeah, and more importantly, the nature of our industries are not transient, but they certainly there are certainly shifts, and we do see a lot of people not sticking around nearly as long as maybe the older generation is in what we did in marketing 20 years ago. You know,
yeah.
So there are some challenges in that space. So kudos to you again for being able to open up the kimono a little bit and having some good communication with your staff. That's fantastic. We do want to make sure our listeners pay attention to the Edge newsletter. It covers everything on the show and much more. If you want to join the newsletter, you can just simply text to the word text the word Edge Talk to 22828. You'll get insider information, a full summary of our most recent interview, as well as who's going to be coming up next. So simply sign up for the newsletter over at edgeofthewebradio.com or on the text as well. So don't do that while you're driving, please. But if you're interested in getting some nuggets of pure digital gold, just sign up right there. We'd love to have you on board. All right. Thanks for your patience on the gratuitous plug there, Bill. Last point. You are a huge purveyor of reporting for SEO. You are continually championing get good reports out there. Reporting SEO during this COVID period of time, not to beat a drum relentlessly here, but are there new reporting needs during this time that you're finding with your clients that you're working SEO for? Are you finding that you have to change a bit of a picture of what's happening with their results?
Yeah, because their KPIs and goals have been changing.
Yep.
You know, so I know we talked about this the last time I was on. Reporting to me is only as valuable as the stories you can get from the reporting, right? Mm-hmm. The actionable things you can get from that reporting. So as we do reporting, and it's something every SEO company does, there's every time, you know, we talk to somebody new, they ask, how's your reporting? Because it's important. People want good reporting. But the reporting is as valuable to the client as it is to our team. So when they're putting the reports together, they're analyzing those reports. They're going deeper. They're trying to find insights. So we're not just putting graphs of numbers and saying, hey, your rankings are this, your traffic is this, your conversions are this, but it's your KPIs are here and here's what we're seeing coming from that. This is what we learned. This is where we should go forward. So the way to being agile for us is in part how those reports come out and the data mining that we're doing when we're looking for stories in the data. So if you've changed your KPIs for the moment, those reports have to be fluid and they have to, you know, be really fine tuned to what you're trying to accomplish. Just having numbers on a spreadsheet, like massive numbers.
Yep.
I don't know, means nothing to me. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen like a rank report of 10,000 keywords. Like what the hell is a rank report? Like, you have it and it was expensive to get because we had to pay a vendor, you know, to get that for you. But right. How is that actionable in any way? That's the kind of thing I'm thinking about. I'm like, just give us the stuff that really moves the needle and everything else can be ancillary and you can go and look at it when you need to. But you should have your reporting should be very clear that this information is good and we're going to use it. And here's how we're going to use it. And it's really just the catalyst to start a campaign in many, many cases.
Very good. I'll share with you a report that was forwarded to me from a new client that's coming on board from his old SEO group, and it looked it was so boilerplate. It was challenging to even look at. But you read down this report, and it's an essay of an email, right? But it's really boilerplate. You can see that it's just chunked through, and it comes to one section that said, "And you had zero conversions this month," and it just kept on rolling. It was just like there was a data drop into a number and nobody freaking looked at that report.
Yeah, right.
And yeah. You talk about giving our industry such a black eye, a blemish, is if you're just churning out reports without even looking at the data, my God, you're doing all of us a disservice. Pay attention and understand the story. And if you don't understand the story, make a report so you can tell it correctly, because the client, I guarantee you, is going to get pissed off with just a ledger of rank reports without understanding what effort went into it and what does that mean to them. It's so frustrating. And
you ever go to the doctor and the doctor gives you that giant list of things that they tested in the last blood test and you go, I have no idea what you're pointing at, but am I okay? That's how I think a lot of companies are with SEO, and they don't know SEO like we do. No. They count on us to give them the truth and give them accuracy.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Yeah, So we certainly do ask our listeners to go check out the interview that we had with Bill, because it was truly deep diving into a lot of the SEO report pieces and what you should really be paying attention to. But are you witnessing maybe a need for some weekly connectivity with clients right now?
Yeah, definitely. So the way that our engagements are structured, you can have as much as you need. And then we kind of let each client sort of figure out what cadence is right for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have one that is maybe, yeah, I'd like to talk to you once a month, we're going to push for a lot more than that. But mm-hmm. yeah, if you need to talk once a week, if we need to talk to you once a week, we'd like you to be available. We'd like to be available for you, you know, and then we have tools like Slack and we have emails, and it doesn't always have to be a phone call,
sure.
But connectivity, now I guess more than ever is super important. I think it's always important.
Absolutely.
Always be, you know, accessible and be communicating.
Lastly, regarding this, are you finding, and maybe it hasn't happened during this period of time, but have you found that clients are starting to dig more into the ROI of some of their investments right now, the ROI of SEO? That can get into a slippery slope, obviously, without a level of education and knowledge of momentum and what you're actually investing in. But are you experiencing any of those particular changes in discussion with your clients?
I don't know that I've heard of it getting any more important than it's ever been. It's always important. You know, ROI is a tricky thing with SEO. We had a client once. It was an e-commerce client. And I remember we pitched an idea and it was like, hey, we're thinking about an experiment here. We're going to get some learnings from it, you know, and these learnings are what's going to really drive the ROI.
Mm-hmm.
And their response to us is, no, we're not going to do it. No guaranteed ROI. And I was just like, yeah, we're an SEO. There's usually not a guaranteed, you know, almost anything, because you can't make Google do anything.
Hmm.
You can feel pretty good that it's going to happen, that you're going to persuade Google to make a change, but you can't guarantee it. So, yeah, I mean, you still get a little bit of that, but
yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, ROI, it's definitely like, if we do this, will this do this? We think we'll give you our best opinions and put together a plan that's data driven. So you see what we're doing, why we're doing it. And then we're going to show you the analysis that we did and we're going to learn from that. That's how you build to ROI in SEO, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're having experience with one client in particular that we're finally actually getting them engaged and they're letting us know the revenue out of each channel, and they have enough data and a CRM now that they can actually tell us, wow, this is coming out of the pay, this is coming out of social, this is coming out of SEO. And I mean, their eyes are opening up to the data that we have, but also the data that they now have that they can attribute towards true revenue. And boy, the conversation's changing all over the place. Oh, wow, let's stoke this fire a little bit higher, because guess what? It's returning 5-1, right?
Right. Right.
It's an awesome thing to be able to see their eyes open up like that.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, it's always a great time talking to you and understanding a little bit more about what you guys are doing over in your agency. And we certainly appreciate you continually contribute out into the social space. We do see you from time to time take a whack at things. So we appreciate it. So I certainly want to finish up asking you, what bugs you about your industry right now?
What bugs me about the industry right now? You know, I actually think the industry is in a really cool spot. I'm seeing a lot of new faces, new names mm-hmm. that I'm not familiar with. I'm becoming familiar with them. So I think we're in a really cool transition period where there's a great group of new people coming in. And I've seen some of the names on your podcast as well. You've had them in here.
Yep.
So what bugs me? I can't come up with an answer. What excites me? It's still growing. It's still getting better. And some of the learnings that people are putting out there now are just excellent, just wonderful stuff. And the history of SEO has always been, we're a community of people that help each other. Very rarely do you meet somebody who's an SEO who doesn't want to share secrets with you. Well, not like company secrets, but here's what I'm doing. We are really all in it together. And I'm seeing that continue. And that's pretty cool.
Some of the machine learning is really awesome. I mean, I would love to break apart some of that and dedicate some time into that. I'm just kind of in awe and jealous because I can't jump into it. But some of that stuff is way cool. No, you're absolutely right. Well, final thoughts for maybe some agency owners that are of your size and going through this period of time. What words of wisdom would you give them?
Yeah, I think if you can, try to be, you know, as open and transparent. You know, you are the leader of your company. If you're an agency owner, you know, you're used to basically having, you know, you're the one who comes up with the vision. And sometimes you're not always thinking about the execution. Sometimes you're not always thinking about the workload on the people that you know, you have on your team. So maybe go touch base with them. Go see how they're really feeling. Go see what their great ideas are. This is a perfect time, especially if you've lost a few clients and you have a little bit of bandwidth, to touch base with your team again, mm-hmm. and maybe try to connect on a deeper level and see what you get from that. I think you'll be very pleased.
Very cool. No, I don't think there's ever a space where connecting with your employees is a harmful scenario. And we certainly implore companies that are going through this to be a family, right? Because that's how you're going to get through things and come out the other side with some strength inside of your organization. So kudos to you, man, and we wish you all the best in the world. Thanks for coming on the show. We certainly want to promote. Is there anything that we can promote for you besides just Greenlane? We got anything going on there? Any new things rolling out?
We are working on a couple cool tools. Mm-hmm. We used to have the indexation tester, if you've heard of that, but Google wanted to change the API on that. So unfortunately, we're still trying to figure out if that's something we can rebuild, but we have a couple cool tools I'm not ready to say yet, but tickle you with a feather. If you go to greenlanemarketing.com and check us out there, hopefully we'll have the tools out. One is for SEO and one is a pretty interesting one for PPC. So we always make them free for everybody to use.
Excellent. Excellent. So greenlanemarketing.com. All right. Well, we certainly appreciate your time, Bill. Can you come back around? We can make this a standing May 4th engagement, you know? But you have to share with us what your favorite Star Wars movie is. Otherwise, I'm just going to get it to somebody else. So come on with it. What's your favorite?
It's New Hope. Okay. It's New Hope. It's the best one. It's the origin. It's everything. It's everything.
Even with the whining Luke.
Even with the whining Luke.
Uncle Owen. Aunt Peru. All right, so I've actually reassembled my lineup. I start with Rogue One just because I can't stand the whining Luke, but it is the preeminent vehicle and what a classic. So we certainly would wish everybody who's celebrating Star Wars Day, and why wouldn't you, jump in there, run the gauntlet, and you know, start plugging away at these movies, because if you're not, then these aren't the shows for you. These aren't the droids you're looking for. Move on. Move on.
You're missing a big part of American pop culture. You got to
better believe it. Better believe it. All right. Hey, Bill, thanks so much. And we certainly lift you guys up. Stay cool. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you in a few. All right.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
No worries. No worries. All right. Make sure you follow Bill over on Twitter at Bill Sebald, S-E-B-A-L-D, and just reach out to them if you want to see what they can do for you over at Greenlane. Don't forget to like and subscribe to The Edge of the Web on YouTube. And if you're really feeling up to it, we'd love to hear from you with a review on iTunes. Let us know how we're doing. Check out all the must-see videos and much more, all the transcripts and news of the show over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. Next week, we're going to be talking to Bridget Willard. And for all of us over at Edge, do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We'll talk to you next week. Stay safe and secure. Bye-bye.